I'm back in Mark 16. Our Lord had fulfilled every requirement of God's law in perfect obedience in the flesh. Our Lord had gone to the cross of Calvary, and there he had died under the judgment of our sins. Our Lord had been buried and risen again. And all of these things he taught his disciples. All of these things he preached to them, taught them, and promised them. And it says in verse 11 of Mark 16 that, "And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of this woman, Mary Magdalene, they didn't believe." They didn't believe. And verse 12 says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the others, and they didn't believe them. And then he gathered them together," verse 14, "afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat," as they sat together, "and he upbraided them for their unbelief." Now, my message this morning, we're not going to talk about decisions, experiences, and all these things, our customs and religions and so forth. I'm going to talk about right down here, this place where it's all settled, this parent grace, believing God, this initial grace, believing God. If this is not present, if this does not possess us, you can forget the rest now. You can forget the rest. You can forget all the play pretties and all of the toys of religion. You can forget hope of life and hope of resurrection and tell mother I'll be there and all that stuff. You can forget it. You can forget when we all get to heaven. And when the rolls call up yonder, I'll be there. Here's where it is. Believe in God. I'm telling you, it's believe in God. And these men, though they'd been with Christ all this time and they'd listened to him and they'd suffered and they'd been persecuted and they'd been mocked and they'd been ostracized and kicked out and excluded and all these things. But when it came down to it, they just didn't believe. When it came right down to it, they didn't believe. And it says in verse 14, "He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them," now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, "and he that believeth, this is where it is, not he that joineth, not he that worketh. It says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be damned, though he joineth and worketh and all these other things. He that believeth not will be damned. Now let's bring out several things here and let's look at this, see if I can help us with it. I'm not just shooting out in the air this morning. I'm trying to establish some things. First of all, I know this. This gospel, he said, "You go preach the gospel, and he that believeth will be saved." This gospel of God's mercy and grace to sinners through Christ is as eternal and unchanging as the God who purposed it. If we can light upon whatever this gospel is, if we can find out what it is that we're required to believe, we'll find out this, that this gospel is as eternal and unchanging, immutable is the word, as the God who designed it and purposed it. He said in Malachi 3:6, I won't ask you to turn to all these, but in Malachi 3:6, he said, "I am the Lord, I change not." There is no change with God. I change not. Whatever God purposes, decrees, promises is without change, without any alteration whatsoever. God doesn't change. God is infinitely, everlastingly perfect in all ways and in all things. He doesn't change. He says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and all the yesterdays and the yesterdays before the yesterdays and today and forever and ever and ever. He's the same. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts of God, the callings of God are without change. No change. There's no change with God. You can put your little sign on the wall, prayer changes things. And whatever that means to you, it better not mean it changes God. Now, whatever that means, it might change you and bring you into submission to God's will. And prayer may be a means that God uses to accomplish his purpose, but it don't change God now. God doesn't change. He said, I do not change. He is the same. His gifts and calling are without change. Now I want you to turn to this verse, Numbers 23. Numbers 23. Two reasons I want you to turn to it. A little humor never hurt anybody. One is I want you to read it. Two, I can't quote it. Numbers 23:19. Now listen. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath God said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now that's enough. So what I'm saying to you is this, that this gospel, whatever I'm to believe, whatever I'm to believe, whatever God has purposed or promised, whatever God's designed, whatever is set forth for me to preach and me to believe, it's as unchanging and eternal as God who designed it. Now, one other verse, I do want you to turn to this one too. James chapter 1. Now, listen to this. James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. And the verse is 17. Now, listen to it. And we quote the first part of this often. Don't you say every good gift and perfect gift cometh from God? I do. I quote it all the time. But there's some more to that verse, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it's a gift and it's from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. Who is that? That's God. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what that's saying? With God, there's not even a shadow or a shade or an appearance of change. Not even a thin shadow. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there isn't even a shadow, Cecil, of a change. Not even an appearance. Not even a fleeting shadow or shade of change with God. What he has decreed, it's done. It's done. Now, this gospel, let's look at something else about it. Strictly speaking, this gospel which God decreed, which God purposed, which God designed, it's as eternal and unchangeable as God. Strictly speaking, this gospel is a word of promise. It's a word of promise, and believing the gospel is believing the promise, whatever generation or age you live in. Now, that's just believing God. It's believing God. Somebody says, well, I believe Jesus died personally for me. That's not required that you believe Jesus died personally for you. What's required is you to believe God. And God said Jesus Christ died for sinners. Believe God. Whatever God said, I believe God will do all that he promised. God Almighty from all eternity has decreed to have a people. He said that. I believe him. He chose that people from Adam's race. He said in his word he made Christ their surety. All the way through the Old Testament, he gave types and pictures and shadows and prophecies of the coming Redeemer. In the fullness of time, he sent his son into the world. I don't understand how God can become a man and how a man can be God any more than those Jews to whom Christ said that. And they said, you can't be God, you're a man. I don't understand either, but God said it, I believe it. And that man died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and God said he's at God's right hand. And all who trust him, believe on him, receive him, God will save. The basis of that, the foundation of that, is believing God. Not understanding it, believing God. And not even thinking that I personally have an interest or a part in it, selfishly, to the exclusion of other people. I just believe God. I believe that His wisdom, that His justice, that His holiness, that His righteousness were all met and satisfied in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe God. And it's a promise. And whether you live in the days of Abel or the days of the millennium, if believe in God, whatever amount of light you have, you just believe, you walk in the light God has given you, believe in God. Let me show you some things about Hebrews 4. Basically, strictly speaking, the gospel is a promise. It's a promise. It was promised before by the holy prophets in the holy scriptures. In Hebrews 4, listen, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. What's that, a promise? What is that promise? That's the gospel. That's Christ. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them in the Old Testament days, but the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now let me tell you something here. Let's go all the way back here before God made the world. Before God made the sun, moon, stars, or whatever, and the earth, and the planets, and all these other things, before He made man, before the foundations of the world, that's what Scripture said. Almighty God purposed, designed, and promised a Redeemer. He promised a Redeemer. The angels who live in His favor, who live in His presence, enjoy His glory, believe God. They believe it. When man came and fell, and God said to Adam and Eve, the seed of woman will bruise the serpent's head. They believed God. They're just as saved as anybody out here who believes God in 1983. They believed God. Salvation was given to them, imputed to them on the basis of faith. Not understanding, but faith. Not even seeing the fulfillment, but faith. When Abel brought the blood sacrifice, he was saying, I believe God. I believe God. And then in down here, when Moses put the blood on the door, he said, I believe God. When Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, they looked to the serpent, I believe God. And down here, when Christ came, the disciples finally came to believe Him. And then we preached the gospel down through the years, and we believed God. But it's the same gospel, whether it's in purpose, prophecy, promise, in person, fulfilling, in actual sacrifice, in Christ rising and seated from there, eternity future to eternity past, it's all the same program. It's all the same God at whatever stage He's pleased to reveal Himself. Salvation, believing Him. It's not doing or giving or going or working. It's just resting and believing God. And at any place in here, Christ doesn't have to actually come and die in order for that to be in operation, in order for it to be in effect. His blood is in effect when God purposed it. His cleansing power was in effect when God promised it. It was in effect when they were living under types. You see, that's the reason when the Jews brought the blood and put it on the altar, it wasn't that animal blood that saved. It was, they were saying they believed that this would actually be done by the Redeemer when He came, and it was their faith that saved. It was their faith that was imputed for righteousness. And so you say, why don't we bring something? Because it's already been brought. Christ brought it, His own blood, and went into the Holy of Holies and put His blood on the mercy seat. And no longer do we have to use types and pictures because He is the fulfillment of all of it. So it doesn't matter at what state or what dispensation or what generation a person is. Faith is to believe God, walking in the light you have. Now, we've got a whole lot more light than they had back here. We've got the fulfilled word. We've got the fulfilled prophecies and promises, and Christ has come. But the gospel is a promise. God promised it. God promised it. God promised it. Christ has died and buried and rose again, and God still promises life in Christ. And I believe him. Let me show you some more. Turn if you will to Romans 4. This is, I'm telling you, I don't know whether you can, whether I'm making it clear enough, and you can enter into the fullness of this, right? This is it. It's believing God. It's believing God. Whether I'm an Old Testament Jew or I'm living in a millennium, whether I'm back here under the day of types or whether I'm under the day of the fulfilled, revealed gospel in the person of Christ, this faith is believing God. And I'm no more commended for what I believe than they are for what they believe. It's the gift of God. Now, let me show you Romans 4. Talking about Abraham. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What did he stagger? He didn't stagger at the what? Promise of God. He believed God's word. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He hadn't seen it. He hadn't experienced it, but he believed God was able, fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able. And brother, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He never believed Christ died personally for him. He believed God. He believed God. He didn't accept Jesus as his personal Savior. He believed God, whatever God did. He believed God. And if God said you're going to have a son, he was going to have a son, and he knew the gates of hell couldn't keep you from having a son. God said it. Now, if you can come to that point and that place, you don't need to have any feelings. Somebody says, well, how do I see Christ on the cross? Or how do I do this? Or how do I do, it's not how I do anything, it's, but God does it. I believe God. I believe God. Now, read on. Now, this wasn't written for his sake, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him, not on an event, on a person, that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. My friends, I just tell you, I believe God. I'm going to show you another scripture in 1 John 5. This is important here. I don't believe like I want to believe. Don't believe like I ought to believe. But I believe that I can say this morning, I believe God. I don't understand all the workings of God and the mysteries of God's godliness and these things, but I believe God. In 1 John 5:7, now there are three that bear record in heaven, the Word, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water. I believe that's the Word and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, if we receive the witness of men, and you do, you do. The witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believed not the record God gave of his Son. That's the whole record too. And this is the record. This is it. That God had given us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. You see, this is the reason that Paul condemned those that preached any other gospel. He said, if you preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. This gospel which we preach is as eternal and immutable, unchangeable as the God who designed it, who purposed it, who decreed it, who fulfilled it, and who applied it. So what I'm saying is this, from the fall of our parents in the garden, to this day, salvation from sin and eternal life is promised to those who believe God. And this is what I'm saying, who believe God as Jehovah, God my Savior. Not just believe, now watch this. He said, you believe there's one God, Elohim, an absolute creator and being, you do well. The devil believes that and trembles. But this believing God is believing Jehovah, God my Savior, God in redemption through Christ. It's believing God. And Abel believed that when he brought the sin offering. Abraham believed that. Job, I know my Redeemer living. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgression. Moses put the Passover with blood on the door, the brazen serpent, the rock. Now, let me show you two scriptures here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5 first. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The last part of verse 7, chapter 5. For even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. That Passover was Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 10. Let me show you another verse here. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. It says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ is our Passover, and Christ is that rock. Salvation is in Christ. I read this the other day. I thought it was very good. Salvation is not in the law. The salvation is not in deeds or works of religion. It's in Christ. The law is a word of wrath. The gospel is a word of peace. The law says you're a sinner and you will be damned. The gospel says Christ came to save sinners. The law says pay what you owe or be condemned. The gospel says Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. The law says continue in all things written in the book of the law or be cursed. The gospel says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The law commands all. It requires all. The gospel promises all and fulfills all. Paul says when he stood on the deck of that ship that was about to sink, sirs, I believe God that it shall be exactly as he said. Do you believe God? All right, let me give you one thing before I quit. Here's what we're saying in this gospel. Eternal gospel, unchangeable gospel, sufficient gospel. Here's what we're saying. All that God requires from eternity past through eternity future, all that the sinner needs, any sinner, all sinners, all that the sinner needs, all that the law requires, all that justice demands is fully met and fully supplied in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I ask five questions. Number one, do you seek a ransom? Do you seek a ransom before the justice of God? Well, Job said this, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Matthew wrote, he gave himself a ransom for many. Turn to 1 Timothy 2. I want you to read this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. Do you need a ransom before the justice of God? Do you need a ransom before the throne of God? 1 Timothy 2, verse beginning with verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Secondly, do you need healing from disease? I'm talking about the disease of sin. Well, the scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All our diseases and sicknesses were laid upon him. Our Lord calls himself Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then in Psalm 103, listen to David. Psalm 103, verse 3. The Lord forgiveth thine iniquities and healeth thy diseases. And healeth thy diseases. Thirdly, do you want a robe of righteousness to cover your nakedness? In Revelation chapter 20, turn over there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Revelation 3, 17. He says, talking about the church at Laodicea, you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Do you want that covering? Tell you where it's found. Turn to Isaiah 61. And I would like for you to read this one. Isaiah 61, verse 10. This is where it's found. This is where it's found. Isaiah 61, you've heard us talk about the robe of righteousness, the white clothing, that you may not be found naked. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. There it is. All right, fourthly, quickly. Do you seek a city of refuge? Do you seek a city of refuge? Can you hear the thundering heels of the avenger behind you? Can't you just imagine that fellow standing out in the field and he lifted his axe and the head flew off and hit a man in the head and killed him and there weren't any witnesses? It was accidental. There weren't any witnesses. And the man's brother heard about it, that his brother was out in the field working with this man and the brother's dead with a blow to the head, so he comes after him. And the law of God says he can flee to the city of refuge, one of the seven cities. And if he gets inside that city, this avenger cannot touch him. Under law, cannot touch him. And I'll tell you this, do you want a city of refuge? I tell you, our sins are not accidental. Our sins are willful and deliberate. And the avenger has every right to lay hands on us. But I tell you, if you can flee to Christ and find refuge in Christ, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. There's none that can condemn those who are in Christ. It's just not there. Not there. Now, one other scripture, Genesis 28. Genesis 28. And this I want to find within my heart, not just religion. I want to find within my heart not just an agreement with some Bible facts. I want to find within my heart a God-given, settled belief in God. I believe God. Abraham believed God. He believed God. He believed God. He rested in God. When God told him to get out of his father's house and go to land, he showed him, he went, not knowing where he's going. When God told him at 100 years of age he'd have a son, he believed God, not knowing how it would take place. When God told him to take that son up on the mountain and kill him, he believed God, not knowing why. He just believed God. He believed God. He couldn't explain all these things, but he believed God. Why did God take this route? Why did God take this path? Why did God require this? Abraham never owned a foot of land, though God promised him all things. But he believed God. Now then, watch this. Genesis 28, verse 11. It's talking about Jacob. And Jacob lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Now, you with him? That ladder, the foot of it, was on this earth. That's where it was standing. And the top of it reached to heaven, to the throne of God. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I'm with thee, and I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I'll bring thee again into this land. I'll not leave you until I've done all that I've done that which I've spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and said, surely this, the Lord's in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. If you were preaching on that, you lay hold of the vastness of it. Here's a man, a God in heaven. And there's a ladder that's a foot of it's right down here on the earth by this man, and it ends up right there in the presence of God. Now, you know what a ladder is for. In other words, a ladder is to take you from where you are to where you want to go. And you can, without a ladder, you can't get on top of the house. But if you got a ladder sitting there, if I walk up and there's a ladder sitting there, the bottom of us here, top of us where I'm going, I can get up. And this is what God is saying. Here's a man down here named Jacob, supplanter, cheat, whatever. He's a man. But God loved him. And God showed him there's a way from there to the throne of God. And my friends, that ladder's Christ. That ladder's Christ. I know that all the way through this book. That ladder's Christ. Christ in promise, Christ in prophecy, Christ in picture, Christ in person, Christ in preaching, Christ ascended, Christ seated. That ladder's Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Now that's it. That's Christ right there. And every promise, Jacob said, this is the house of God, this is the gate of heaven, this is the way to heaven. Now, I believe God. And we can go through all that you want to go through, but this is where you want to work. This is where you want to aim, or you young people, everybody else. This, you want God, whatever you ask for, chiefly ask for faith, ask to believe God. You everything else will fall in line. Everything else will fit in if you can believe God. You're saved if you believe God. Believe God, but believing God is believing God in his redemptive character, Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah the Lord my righteousness, the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah my banner over me, Jehovah present, the Lord will provide. That's Jehovah God present. What? All of this faith toward God is believing him whatever, whenever, however, is believing God. And he says it's in Christ. And this is the thing about election. Somebody said, I can't see election. You don't have to see it, but you have to believe it. You're not required to see, understand anything. You're required to believe God. If that's what God has said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I don't understand why God permitted Adam to fall when he could have stopped it. I don't either. But I'll tell you this, if Adam hadn't fallen then, I'd be in danger of falling now. I'm kind of glad he fell and got it over with. If it hadn't been a fall, it would have been a song of redemption. It would have been assurance of confidence. So these things, now we see through a glass dimly. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away, and we'll know even as we're known. I'm going to know the purpose and plan and way and will of God like God knows me now. He's going to be pleased to reveal it. And then, I won't have to tell you, you'll be telling me. But I tell you where we better start. Believe in God.